It is such a joy to be here with you. And today, I know, I was telling the first service, that I'm talking to a very special group of people. And the reason I know that is because the Bible says that God gives us leaders after our own heart. And so Pastor Joseph and Wendy, as your leaders, I know that I am speaking to some very special people. And it's an honor to be here with you. I'm looking forward to sharing the word with you. Let me pray with you. Father, I pray right now that every mind would just be at peace. Just be at peace. And Holy Spirit, speak to each one individually. I'm asking you to do miracles in their lives today in the next 50 minutes. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. One of the things that God has called me predominantly to do in our own church and when I travel is to bring a message to the body of Christ that we call the Spirit Contemporary Life. By Spirit Contemporary, I mean spiritually alive, moving in the miraculous. By contemporary, I mean relevant, contemporary, accepted, appreciated, not weird, wacky, wild, makes people cringe when you're around because you just preach or you act weird with everybody. Spirit contemporary. It means that God can move through you in a way, whether you are in a government office, whether you are a nurse in an intensive care ward, a politician working in that area, whether you're a mom, a dad, the presence of God is here and he wants to move through you. I pastored with my dad for about 14 years before God led Sally and I to the work that where we are now. And so for the first seven of those 14, I was a paramedic. I was an ordained pastor, but during the week, I would literally support myself through being a paramedic. And we would have these wonderful, wonderful services on Sunday nights where we would worship like that gorgeous song those ladies sang, "People Need the Lord." It just makes your spirit just want to worship him. And we would have altar calls and people would stream down to the front. We'd have a choir and a band and people would in the seats would all, we'd all sing and worship God together. And then we would minister healing to each of the people who needed a miracle in their lives. And God would do incredible things. But one day, I remember it because it was about 3 o'clock in the morning after the Sunday night service. We'd had an amazing time. And my beeper went off in my sleep. And that meant I was to immediately respond to an accident. I was supervising the units for the freeways around our city at that time. And I remember rushing 30 minutes outside of the city to a dark area. Oh, there was no street lights. It was the countryside. And as the ambulance pulled up to the accident scene, we turned the lights on and lit up the ditch. In the ditch was a car, upside down, in about 6 or 7 inches of water. You know, sometimes your brain can go through memories in a second. But I stepped out of the car. My job was to go in and maximize survivors, and I could see the blue and the red lights flashing through the trees. I could hear in the distance the police coming. We were the first unit on the scene. More ambulances had been called. They were on the way. We were the first unit there. It's 3 in the morning. It's totally dark. But when we flipped the lights on, we saw a child laying dead in the water of the ditch, a mom hanging upside down in her seatbelt, and another child hanging upside down as well. The lights had given the mom the ability to see what had happened. And you could hear her crying. You could hear her calling for help. It touched me deeply. I have 5 children. I remember stepping down into the ditch, seeing the blood in the water, and my mind began to race with this question. God, last night, as Christians, we got together. We praised you. We raised our hands, and we just prepared our hearts for an atmosphere of miracles. The worship team was praying or playing, and the choir was singing, and the congregation was all standing in agreement with their hands in the air, and tremendous things happened. But today, I'm not a pastor. Today, I'm a paramedic, and I don't have a band. I don't have ushers and people to stand around the accident scene with their hands in the air and worship God to create an atmosphere for the miraculous. I had been raised in a denomination where they felt like Holy Spirit was a dove. They didn't read where it says he was like a dove. And they felt that if anybody was to make any kind of a wrong move, Holy Spirit would just fly away. If somebody was chewing gum or making a noise somewhere where we wanted to minister to people, Holy Spirit would just leave. He'd be grieved and he would just leave. I remember people teaching that, I mean, if you talked or whispered or you just moved the wrong way, we would grieve what Holy Spirit was doing. And so I'd kind of grown up in this denomination where you've got to be so careful. You got to have everything just right or God's not going to move. Well, so my brain went through this situation. There's no music worshiping God. In fact, the guy that is driving for me is getting the equipment ready. He's cussing and swearing. I can hear ambulances in the distance. I can hear a mom groaning and crying for help. And I have no way to get the miraculous to happen. But here's a situation where I need miracles more than even in the front of a church. That started a journey for me. I remember crying out to God and saying, God, I've got to learn how to see miracles in everyday life, not just in a church. That is where, for the next probably 5 or 6 years, God began to teach me how to see the miraculous flow into situations that were emergency situations, to see God heal physical bodies, raise multiple people from the dead. And we share that in the book, The Spirit Contemporary Life, I think is available at the back. But God began to reteach me about Holy Spirit and how that he's not offended by gum chewing. How that we don't need a few hundred people to raise their hands before he'll heal. We don't need 3-part harmony and a Hammond organ to create the atmosphere before God moves. All of those things we still do. And its purpose is to help us to get us ready to receive. God's always here. But he began to teach me how to minister miracles into people's lives when I didn't feel emotionally like I was there. I remember during this time coming home one day with, we had 2 daughters at the time, Sally and I, Danielle and Eden. And Sally was just taking a break. And so one of my friends and I grabbed my 2 daughters, who I think were about 2 and 3, 3 and 4, right in there. And we went to the beach. We swam for the day and just looked after the 2 and had a blast with them. And then my friend and I came home, and Eden and Danielle both ran for the gate because they love to beat each other. And Eden wanted to open the gate and Danielle wanted to open the gate. So Eden grabbed the gate, but Danielle was on the wrong side. She put her hand in the hinges. Eden grabbed the steel gate. And when she ripped it open, she destroyed one of Danielle's fingers. I remember because it was her ring finger on her left hand. And it crushed the knuckle so bad it was thinner than a nickel or a dime or a coin. And then it ripped off the muscle and the skin. It just scraped it, ripped it right off. So here I am, I'm a daddy. I know all about injuries, I'm a paramedic, and here's this girl running across the yard, and I can see the mess that her hand is in, and I picked her up, and she's just screaming, and my heart wanted to get so afraid and so scared, and the business guy that was with me was a brand new Christian, maybe, and his eyes are this big, and he's looking at this, And the second I picked her up, God had taught me how to deal with fear and how to believe for miracles. And so the second I picked her up, I grabbed her hand and I looked at this little finger. And I mean, her hands are already so small, and this little finger. And I just said, in Jesus' name. The second I said that, Danielle just stopped crying. Now, when you crush a joint, that finger is crushed straight. You can't bend it. So when you'd look at her hand, these fingers would move, but this finger was crushed horribly straight. And the second that I spoke, this joint just was completely formed back. It just popped open, and she began to go like this, and she began to play. At that time, I had a mustache, and she began to just play with my mustache. She stopped crying. All the pain was gone. But I looked at her hand, and it still had all the skin and the muscles scraped off. It was just hanging like a banana off of her finger. So I picked her up, and he said, I'll get the car ready for to the hospital. That's what my friend was saying. I got her into our house, and I just ran a little bit of water in the sink to kind of wash it off and look at it. And Danielle just sat on my lap, and she just played in the water. It still touches me as a dad. So my friend ran in. He said, Leon, we got to get to the hospital. And I hadn't been paying any attention. I was just sitting there just worshiping God, just thanking him. He reached in and grabbed her little hand and pulled out of the sink, and it was completely restored. All the skin, knuckles, everything restored. The only way we knew there was a miracle was that she was tanned a nice light brown, and she was a really white, she's bright blonde, white skinned, but she had a little tan. But there's one area around her finger was brand new white skin. And he looked at this, and this man just broke down, and he just sobbed in my bathroom, just sobbed. Then from there, he became a minister. Started preaching for Jesus because he'd seen this incredible miracle. Now listen to me. I didn't have any worship and praise. I didn't have anybody standing. All I heard were the shrieks of a little girl. It was touching my heart so deeply. But in the middle of work situations, family situations, we can see God do miracles. And we've got to convince Christians today that the fivefold ministry isn't to do the ministry. We are to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. My job today is to continue to teach you and show you how to do miracles. You know, sometimes we get this all mixed up. It's like, I'm the clergy. I'm a professional. You are the laity, rookies. But that's not the way it is. The clergy or the fivefold ministry are to equip the saints, to train the saints to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, to see miracles everywhere you go. We'll do it in church, and we still worship and have great healing services, and I think it's powerful, but it's to show you how to do it in the world that is out there. So it's crucial. Can you imagine if you went to a football game and all the talented players were sitting on the bench? And four chubby coaches were on the field playing the four chubby coaches from the other team, and all of their special players were sitting on the bench. Who'd pay for a game like that? That'd be boring. Yet the church world has gotten to a place where we watch the fivefold ministry on the stage do their stuff, and we just observe. We're just watchers. But yet God wants every one of you that I'm looking at today, everywhere you go, He's guiding you. He will lead you, and the miraculous can follow you. Why is our world so entertained by things like Superman, Wolverine, Captain America? I mean, these are the biggest movies going on today. Do you know why? Because inside of every human being on the planet is this desire to live a life that is significant. Is a desire to live a life that's great. Did you know it's okay to want to do great things? The Bible says, let him who desires to be great, just be the servant of all. Get rid of your pride. But within every one of us, it says, these signs shall follow pastors. No, these signs shall follow those who believe. When you gave your life to Jesus Christ, your spirit man became totally new. Old things passed away out of your spirit. Everything became new in your spirit, and you have a new nature. Okay? Now, the Bible also says that your spirit is then sealed. In other words, your fear, your temptation, your sin, the things you've done wrong as a Christian, they can't get in and corrupt your spirit where the Spirit of God is. You've been sealed. And so the enemy wants you to think that because you haven't been perfect, you know, and you've been taught so well on grace, but in your spirit, Holy Spirit is there. And he just can't wait to flow through you and to heal that little baby, to touch that mom. There needs to be something upon believers all around the world. We need to become spirit contemporary, spiritually alive, but contemporary and cool and relevant. One day I was walking along a really bad section of our city. And there's this one bar that's very tough. And while I was walking by, five men just got up and surrounded me on the street. They asked me what I was doing in this area, and I said, well, you know, we're just walking around and just inviting people to a very special thing we're doing, and we're Christians. And what's a Christian? I said, well, Jesus is my Lord, and Jesus is my friend. The ringleader of these five guys goes, Jesus is your friend? He says, some friend. These are my friends. And he says, we're going to kick the beep, beep, beep out of you. You guys know what beep means here? Beep, 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 beep. So he says, what do you think about that? What's your Jesus going to do for you now? Huh? I said, well, to tell you truthfully, he told me in a letter that he's going to have angels protecting me and they're going to handle all five of you. Now, or he's going to give me the power to take all five of you, whichever he wants. And the guy looks at me and he goes, what kind of a Christian are you? He was used to wimpy, whiny, begging. Oh, I'm a Christian. Please don't hurt me. I said, I'm the real kind. He said, well, yeah, give Jesus a hand. I said, do you want to hear about him? He goes, well, yeah. They all sat down on the fence by the bar. And I just stood there, and for 45 minutes, I shared the Jesus that I knew. Not a little baby in a manger, not a guy with long brown hair and a dress and flip-flops, but Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, like Revelation shows him. And these guys, listen, and then shook my hand as I left and thanked me for sharing with them. You see, we forget sometimes that we're not these little Christians going through life going, Jesus loves you. When you look at the Old Testament, look at the heroes. Look at Solomon, the brilliance of that man to lead countries. David, that warrior, but that artist who could write songs. Look at Moses, I mean, leading a couple million Jews. I have a Jewish friend, and his name is Sandy Culkin. He says, anybody can lead a couple million Jews anywhere is a genius. And so, I mean, look at the heroes in the Old Testament. And today, something has happened to believers where rather than recognizing that the light grows brighter and brighter, Jesus said, greater things shall you do. If you want to know what a Christian looks like, you're supposed to look at Jesus. The Bible says he gave up all of the perks that he needed to be the Son of God, and he became a human. He became a human, only with the rights and privileges of a human. Didn't do a miracle till he was baptized with Holy Spirit. And then he said, now you go and do likewise. For 7 years as a paramedic, I walked into rooms and I prayed with people and I began to practice. I began to teach people how to receive a miracle. I would lay hands on people. I remember being invited into this woman's home who had four cancers and she was given about a week to die, to live, and she was gone. And her husband got a hold of me, and he didn't believe in this stuff. And he told me on the phone, my wife wants you to pray for her. And he says, this is ridiculous. I'm just doing this because she wants me to, and I'm upset. You're just going to bring a lot of false hope. But she said, I told her I'd invite you over, so come on over to the house. So I said, I'm going to send some teaching for her to listen to first. And I'd like her to listen to this, and then I'll come by. So she spent some time in the next few days listening to this, and then I popped by. He invited me into the house, upset, not happy. I walked into the room and here is this woman laying in bed. Now, she has cancer in the lungs and in the throat so bad that when she speaks, she goes into laryngospasm. She just starts to choke. So she can only move air and talk like this. Just like that. And she can't even lift her hand. I went over and went to shake her hand on the bed and she tried to lift her hand and she's so weak at this point, she can't even shake my hand. She just went, I found out from the husband that she had cancer in the hips, in the bones of her hips, so bad that she couldn't even bear weight on it because the bones would just crumble. She's laying flat in bed, has not had anything to eat for a couple of weeks, now is not drinking water. She's skin and bones. So she's got throat cancer, she's got lung cancer, she's got cancer in the bones, and all through her bowels and her stomach, nothing has moved, and she's just waiting to die. She began to listen to the teaching of Jesus, of the cross, of his grace. So I walked in and the husband just stood at the door like this, leaning on the doorpost. And I said, did you listen to the messages that I sent you? She smiled and said, yes. I said, could I just teach you a little bit from God's word before we pray? She goes, yeah. So I began to teach her what Jesus did at the cross and how that you don't have to earn it or be good enough. I taught her the beautiful gospel of grace. About 15 minutes in, she started getting tired. I said, just grab a nap and I'll come back. And so she fell asleep and I stepped out with the husband. And he's mad at me. He goes, all this false hope. I can't believe, he says, what kind of person are you that you'd walk into someone's room and you'd give them all this hope and you know it's not gonna work. It's false hope. He was just angry. So I just didn't even try to explain to him. I just said, just walked around, waited for her to wake up. She woke up, I walked back into the room, spent 15 more minutes just teaching her God's word. At one point, I said to her, I said, are you ready for me to pray? Yes. I said, all right. I sat down beside her on the bed and I just reached my hand carefully because she was so painful, everything was pain. I just laid my hands right on the leg and I just spoke healing into her body. Now, when I do, I'll talk about this in a few minutes. The Bible says that we can earnestly desire the gifts of the Spirit, okay? And so I would do that every day. And now the best gift I need here is a gift of healings, and I need a working of miracles to replace bone. But I didn't tell her any of that. I just laid my hands on her, just spoke life into her. Well, within about 10 seconds, her hands go up in the air as she's laying on the bed. And she couldn't do that before. And she begins to shout. And she couldn't do it. She goes, thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And her husband comes running into the room. What's going on? What's going on? And then she sits up in bed. And he goes, what's going on? What's going on? He's freaking right out. And I said, shh, be quiet, because I wanted to talk to his wife. And then his wife swivels her legs around. Now she's sitting on the edge of the bed. The husband grabs me, and I'm sitting on the edge of the bed. She's sitting there, and he pulls me to him. And I start trying to explain to him, because he wasn't listening, what God has done. Then I turned around, and she's gone. And we hear this door close. She gets up and walks to the bathroom. Now, she's not supposed to be able to shout or speak. She can't even take a deep breath. And she goes into the bathroom, and she goes to the bathroom, and her bowels move for the first time. And her husband goes, dear, are you okay? Are you okay? I'm fine, she goes. And he's just, hey, what happened? What happened? And he's just so, she comes out of the bathroom with her house coat on, and she goes, I'm hungry. And I said, well, just a minute. Be careful. You can't just throw a bunch of food in there. You haven't eaten in a couple of weeks. I'm hungry, and I'm having something to eat. She walks over to the kitchen and her husband's going, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, what's happening? What's happened here? She gets into the kitchen and she fries up an egg. That's your fried food that she's gonna eat for food. I'm saying, well, I don't know if you should do that. I'm trying to give her some wisdom. She's ignoring me. They have daughters who are at school. All of a sudden, while she's sitting there eating in the kitchen, this girl had slept home because they said her mom was gonna go at any time at this point. She walks in the house and she's got some books in her hand, and I'll never forget this. I'm just sitting at the kitchen table watching her prepare her food, and the door opens and this young teenage girl walks in and she drops her books and she grabs her face and she begins to scream. What happened? What happened? And her mom came over and shared what Jesus had done in her life. Listen to me, folks. If Jesus, give Jesus a hand. Amen. If miracles can take place in Jesus' time, if miracles can take place in the disciples' time, we must begin to expect the miraculous. Now, I was a paramedic, so most of the miracles that I saw involved sickness. I began to pray for people who had died. To date, about 7 of them have come back to life, and about half of them in front of people. God is doing miracles, but there are other kinds of miracles. There can be business miracles. There can be miracles that can help you in anything you do. For example, my mom and dad are pastors, and my mom, she had a real ability to sense and know things. And I have 4 brothers to show you the kind of sense of humor my parents have. I have twin brothers, 3 years younger than me. Their names are Rock and Roll. So, and then Manning and Guy are the other two. But, you know, my brothers weren't always serving God. They would bring drugs or they would bring pornography into the house. And my mom would sense it and know it. We'd be sitting at the table eating. All of a sudden, my mom would go. And she'd look right at the brother and she'd go, follow me. And she'd get up and she'd go right to the spot in the house where he had hidden his drugs. She didn't look, she didn't go through drawers. In fact, one time we have a ceiling that is, the tiles will move and you can kind of set them in. And she got a chair in the entire room, got under the right tile, stood up, put her hand through the tile, grabbed the drugs and flushed it out. She would know things. We knew God was real because he would talk to our parents. If you are in business, here's the thing to think about. As a pastor, how do the gifts of the Spirit flow in my life? But if you're an accountant, how would the gifts of the Spirit flow in your life? If you are a nurse, you understand that there's 9 gifts of the Spirit, which is basically just a way that God has for us to learn. 3 say something, 3 do something, 3 gifts reveal something. It's basically just showing us how Holy Spirit can help us. Wherever I go, I would always be open and say, Holy Spirit, please guide me, lead me. I would often pray every day, every time my hand touches someone, Father, the presence of God flows into the person that I'm touching. Just last year, I was in the Denver airport racing for my gate. And now I wasn't late, but I was going fast. And I had this desire for ice cream. And so I turned around and walked back to where the ice cream place was in the middle of the Denver airport. And I sat down with my ice cream. All of a sudden, I hear a scream. Ah! And I look around and this woman is on her face right on the floor. And her husband, he's bending down to pick her up. 2 of stewardesses ran over there to help them out. And the husband's embarrassed. And as people come over, he goes, it's okay. This happens all the time. It's fine. It's fine. Everything's okay. And so I just kept eating my ice cream. And they'd called for an ambulance, like these little golf carts they have in there that would come over. And it hadn't shown up yet. So I kept eating my ice cream. And she's sitting on the floor with her feet in front of her. So kind of sitting down there like this, feet in front of her, and one of the stewardesses behind her holding her up. Her husband is standing over there, and the other one was just kind of standing up. So I'm eating, and about 3 or 4 or 5 minutes later, I look at her, and she's sitting like this. Now, if you ever sit down on your bum on the floor, putting your chin on your chest isn't comfortable to breathe. And I knew right away something was wrong. Others had come by to try to help them, and they go, it's okay, it happens all the time. Please move on. So I got up from my chair, and I walked over to the husband, and the husband saw me coming. It's fine, everything is fine. This happens all the time. I said, I'm a paramedic. Would you let me just check her out? He said, she's fine. And then one of the ladies with the airline was sitting on the floor with her, and she goes, everything is under control. Please just move on. And I said, I need to check her out. They both kind of rolled their eyes and allowed me. So I slid my hand around her neck. She's dead. So the woman is sitting there on the floor. The stewardess is behind her holding her, and the husband's over here. So I turned my back to the husband, and I said to the steward, I said, she's dead. No pulse, no breathing. She's already whitish and a little bit grayish around the lips. No air's moving. And so her eyes got this big, and I said, where's the other? He said, go call again, get the ambulance going. Now, as she was sitting up, I said, let's lay her down. So I put my one hand on her pulse and her carotid pulse, other hand I put behind her neck, and I lowered her down with her head on the floor. The second her head hits the floor, now here's the thing that I would always do. As I begin to learn to operate in the gifts of the Spirit, and I'm gonna share a few things with you at the close of what you need to begin to do to see the miraculous flow in your everyday life, I would always pray that every person I touch, the presence of God flows into them in Jesus' name. Signs, wonders, miracles flow through me for everything I do. Whatever I put my hands to, if it's to investments, if it's to hiring staff, if it's to buying houses, if it's to laying hands on people, whatever I touch, the presence of God moves into. So I always confess that. So I'm in a crowded airport. I didn't say anything. My lips are shut. But as I put her down inside, I'm going, live in Jesus' name. As soon as her head hit the floor and gently, her eyes pop open and she goes, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay, I'm okay. So I sat her back up, let the lady hold her up. What are you gonna do now? Nothing, they're waiting for the ambulance. Went to my gate and left. When God does miracles in your life, he's not always gonna give you credit. Why do we always have to take the credit? Yeah, the presence of the Lord hit me and I laid my hands on that lady and boom, and she was raised from the dead. Like, why, what's into that? Did you know that when Paul did a miracle in one of the cities, it says they started sacrificing bulls at the gates to them and called him Zeus and Apollo. And they ran through the city, ripping their clothes, saying, stop this, we are only men like you. Who cares who gets the credit? Who cares how amazing you look? Let's learn to minister to people. And as we minister to people, God can do miraculous things if you don't care who gets the credit. Why do we always have to say things like, well, the Lord just spoke to me. One time I was at the door and a doorbell rang and it was a guy who was delivering a package. Tough looking guy. I mean, black hair, long black hair. He's got like big piercings through his lips, his nose, his eyes, tattoos everywhere, and he's grumpy. And he hands me the thing, and so I'm signing for it. And as soon as I started signing, inside my stomach, we call it a gut feeling, a word rose up, and the word was suicide. And I thought, well, Lord, I want to move in the gifts of the Spirit, but I don't want to be weird. I want to be contemporary. I want to be relevant. Now, in the denomination that I grew up in, you would do something like this. Thus saith the Lord unto thee, thou shalt not take thine own life, the Lord would say. But this guy I found out later was from a bike gang. He's never been to church, and he's going to run or he's going to stab me if I do something that crazy. So I just looked up at him when I got done signing and I handed him the clipboard back and I said, don't do it. He goes, what the beep beep you talking about? I said, don't kill yourself. He goes, how the beep beep did you know that? Now right here I could go, the Lord speaks to me. What is it about us Christians that always has to get the credit? So here's what I said. I said, dude, I'm not sure how that works, but is it true? He says, man, I was gonna off myself right after this call. I said, well, if that's the case, then let me buy you lunch first. He thought that would be okay. I took him out for lunch, bought him a big meal, and I began to share Jesus with him and the hope. You understand that everywhere you go, Holy Spirit is never silent. He's always revealing, showing us things to come, telling us things we don't know. It's wonderful that we are able to walk and live in his grace, in his favor, his supply, his health, his healing. But all around you, people need the Lord. They're hurting. They're crying. Whether you're in a business situation, we need We need to step out. And I'm going to show you in just a moment, we need to begin to do the things that makes our antennas go up, helps us to know where we should get involved. And when you get involved, the presence of God will flow through you and do miraculous things. I was invited one day to have lunch with two of the executives, a CEO and the CMO of a huge company in America. And so they were visiting in Canada, and they were going to franchise out into Canada and Europe, tons and tons of money. And so the guy in Canada who goes to our church said, would you have lunch with us? So these men were trying to be gracious to me. I'm a pastor. And so at the end of our lunch, we're getting ready to go. And the guy who's the CEO looks at me trying to be gracious. I don't know how much of a Christian he was. And he goes, Pastor Leon, could you just say a blessing over our company before we go? And I said, sure. So just quietly, right there at the table, I just said, Father, bless these men. Guide them with wisdom. In the name of Jesus. I said something nice, you know. Amen. But when I said amen, I sensed Holy Spirit speaking to me that there was something horribly wrong in their company. Now, if they wouldn't have asked me to bless their company and open that door, I'm not sure if he would have shown me. So here's what I said to them. And as I begin to be obedient to God, I said, as we were praying, I said, do you guys mind if I just ask you a question? They said, no, not at all. I said, while I was praying, I just sensed there's something majorly wrong in your company. And you even know who it is. And if you don't change it, you're going to lose everything. I thought, oh, Leon, what have you done? Why would you say something like that? You know, and the CEO, his eyes got this big. He looked over at the CMO, the other executives there, and they both said the guy's name at the same time. It was his brother-in-law who ran the finances. And they looked at me. They said, how do you know that? And again, you know, when God showed me, I could have done the churchy thing. Pray for us, brother. Father, bless them. Thus saith the Lord unto thee. And just, but instead, Holy Spirit can use us in a contemporary and in a relevant way. And I said, you know, as Christians, it's not just pastors. He'll always show us things to come. Nothing should surprise us. And if people try to hurt us, he'll either reveal it or protect us. It's just part of being a believer. They'd never heard of that before. Now, just a side note, 6 months later, the entire company went belly up. I don't know what happened, but they knew there was a problem. And Holy Spirit showed them through me just because they asked me. Everywhere you go, you are a blessing to the people around you. God will do miracles even if they don't know him as Savior and Lord. I've prayed for completely drunk guys and seen God completely heal them. The presence of God within us as believers. God is continually wanting to show his love to those that are around you. Often, I could tell you a lot of stories of walking into coffee shops and where I would walk in and all of a sudden someone would just stand out to me. And I would just go over there and say, hey, I'm alone today. Could I just join you? I shared with the first service how one man's wife was dying that week of cancer and how I communicated with him the power of Jesus. We prayed as a church for his wife and how everything turned around. But a ton of my stories take place not from the front of, I can tell you stories of praying for people in church, but the ones that I treasure so much is walking through airports and coffee shops and meeting with people and all of a sudden sensing Holy Spirit directing me and leading me towards them. The miraculous is around us. He's within us all the time. I want you to begin to step out. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12:1, I don't want you to be ignorant about the spirituals. In the New American Standard is, I don't want you to be unaware. In other words, God wants you to be aware that not only are you saved and born again and filled with his presence, covered in his grace, but within you are gifts to the people all around you of healing, restoration, guidance in financial matters, etc. And so we, first of all, need to be very aware. Read through the chapters that talk about the moving of Holy Spirit. Read, you know, the Apostle Paul, when he got shipwrecked, he was bitten by a snake and it was poisonous and it came out and just grabbed him and he shook it into the fire. He didn't even say, in Jesus' name. He didn't say, please pray for me. He didn't say anything. He just snapped it into the fire and the whole island went, oh, he must be an evil man. He's running from something and the snake got him. And instead, God turned it around and he won an island to him. You need to understand that within you, Holy Spirit's in your spirit. He just can't wait to flow through you. It just requires you learning and being aware of what the nine gifts of the Spirit are and that they're always potentially in you. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, here's one other thing it says, do not pursue the gifts. Don't pursue the gifts. Pursue love. People who pursue the gifts often have, you know, they want to look good. They want to be the center of attention. Look at me. God uses me. God has a word for you. And the Bible says not to pursue the gifts. Pursue love, but desire earnestly the spiritual gifts. That word desire earnestly literally means a passion. Another word it uses there is actually fury. There's times we look at what the devil is doing and it upsets us. It makes us angry. Be angry and sin not. Be angry and operate in the gifts, if anything else. It's amazing how we must rise up every day and say, God, use me today. If I come across somebody with a kind word or whatever I can do, help me. And you'll be amazed how God will use you in a powerful way. In 1 Corinthians 12:31, it says, earnestly desire the better gifts. Now, one gift is not better than the other. But if you need a healing, that's better than a word of knowledge or protection. I remember being attacked by a man with a tire iron. He was coming at me just angry and furious, and I'm standing there, and this guy's just coming right at me. And I just said, in Jesus' name, bam, that thing hit the ground. Terror came on his face. He turned around and ran. That's not a gift of healings. That's a working of miracles. What the best gift is the one that you need for the time. And once we begin to understand that Holy Spirit is within us and that every day he's not silent. When you know that person that you notice at work, that is Holy Spirit guiding you to open a conversation. Say something to them, but be spirit contemporary. Don't be crazy and religious and you're the center of attention. There's often times at the dinner table having lunch with someone. I remember one big old tough guy one time, he looked at me and he says, I hate my dad so much. And he was just furious. And I said, do you want help? Yes, I can't stand how I feel about him. He's wrecking my marriage, what he's done to me as a child. He said, I can't forgive him. I said, I'll lead you in a prayer. Right here? I said, yeah, just keep your eyes open. I'll keep my eyes open, watch and pray. And I said, I'll lead you in the prayer. Okay, he said. I said, just say, dear Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my life. Oh, yes, Diet Coke with lime. Please, did you want something else? No, thank you, thank you. And she, the waitress walks up, in Jesus' name, amen. Big tears coming down his face. He goes, what'd you do to me? Why am I crying? And I just share with him the power of Jesus. You don't need a band. You don't need 40 other Christians standing in a circle. Wherever you go, you represent Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He loves you. He cares about you. Today, I'd love to spend some time teaching, but I just felt like I needed to share stories with you. Stories that didn't take place in a church. That didn't take place at the front of an altar. It took place in ditches, hospitals, Starbucks, taxi cabs. Holy Spirit will guide you, lead you, prosper you, bless you, help you raise your kids, help you with your sex life if you're married. Holy Spirit will help you with everything in your world. But sometimes we forget that he's there. Can I pray for you? Let's do something. I got 5 minutes and 26 seconds. Let's just try something. If you're here, listen really carefully, and all the sites that are watching as well. If you're here and you have pain in your body right now, you have a growth in your body, or something to do with your muscles or your bones where you can't move your back because of the pain, maybe your elbow joint is shot, but there's something in your body that you will know if you get a miracle that God has just touched you. You've got 5 seconds if you want to just quickly stand to your feet at your seat right now. If you need a miracle in your body, just stand to your feet all over the auditorium, all the decks, everyone joining us right now on the other campuses, just quickly, quietly, just stand to your feet. Just stand to your feet. All right. Now, the language of Holy Spirit is not emotion. It's simply a faith. A believing. So, in the name of Jesus, I speak to every growth in this place to disintegrate. I speak to bones and muscles, move into shape, move into place. Synovial fluid, be restored in the name of Jesus. Right now, I speak to that knee, patella, restore, reform. I speak right now to shoulders. I speak right now to that neck. Be healed in the name of Jesus. Growth, get out of that armpit in the name of Jesus right now. I speak healing to every physical malady in the name of Jesus. Pain, you are an early warning system, not a continuous plague. I forbid you to continue to harass this body. Get off in Jesus' name right now. Father, thank you for the gifts of healings. Father, thank you for the working of miracles. Father, thank you. This is so easy for you. I call it done in Jesus' name. All right, eyes open, look at me now. Let's have some fun. You ready to have some fun? All right, don't sit down. I want you to check right now. Maybe you can't, maybe you can. But I want you to see if the pain is gone from your back. Just stay standing. I want you to see if that shoulder, if you couldn't lift your arm before above your head, try it now. If that elbow had a problem that you couldn't fully extend it, see if you can fully extend it. If you couldn't bend over a certain way and the pain would almost make you pass out, go ahead and try. See, just try it right now. Just move. I'm gonna wait a few minutes because some of you aren't checking. Those watching by sights, just right there. Presence of God, when the gifts of God are in operation, that nothing, no time, no space stops it. All right. Now, right now, people are being completely healed. So, how many right now, the pain is completely gone, the lump is gone, or you couldn't do something? Just show me. Wave a hand. All right? Hands up. All right. Just stay where you are. Okay. I'm going to ask you to not clap for the next few minutes, okay? Just so we can do something kind of fun. How many, not by faith, the lump is gone, the pain is gone, it's restored. Put your hand, hold your hand up nice and high if it's you. All right, holler out, if you can, what was it that God just healed you of? You couldn't lift that shoulder before? Can you do it now? Show me. You couldn't do that before. Only halfway, and it's totally restored. Pain's all gone? Beautiful. All right, now keep your hands up over the auditorium. I want you to hold them up, and I want everyone to look around you. You need to look around and see how many instantaneous miracles there are in this front. On every level, there are hands that are up. If you got an instantaneous miracle, hands up. That means the pain is gone. Now, some of you can't tell because if it's an allergy, you won't know. If you're diabetic, you won't know. But if God just healed your pancreas and you keep giving yourself insulin, you're going to be in trouble. So don't stop taking insulin. Just go see the doctor. Now, the reason I wanted to do this way was because I didn't have time to get the praising team up, to get the choir up, to get everybody standing around. I just, for fun, let's do this. That's what I said. And look how many miracles took place. Now listen to me. Those who haven't yet received a miracle, the Bible teaches two things, the instantaneous miracle and then the recovery. I did this in a church one time, and a man with a complete stroke, had never moved in one entire half of his body for years, was all unhappy because I just did this to show them, you all should be praying for people. This is how easy it is. And he was just dejected. So So as I'm walking out, I saw him on the wheelchair and one foot is up. And his wife said, he's so unhappy. He wasn't healed. I said, you weren't listening to me. And he looks up at me and I said, the miracle is instantaneous. Recovery takes time. It might take a day. It might take a week. It might take a couple months, but it beats dying. I said, could you do anything before? He said, no. I said, well, then just move your toe. And all of a sudden his feet started to move and it started, what? And he was just shocked. About 2 months later, a guy who they had given up on, because he'd been like this now for a year or two, no help to this stroke, completely restored, walking around. A lady with a breast tumor is in one of our services. And 9 months later, it completely disappeared. It just shrunk a little bit each week, each month. A lady was here and she had an accident her ankle bone had been crushed and the doctors had, I guess, welded it or just, what's the word I'm looking for, kept it totally straight. So when she walked, that thing wouldn't move. It was just completely stiff. Nothing happened to her. She walked out and she went to her car in the parking lot. And when she stepped off the stage and she put her foot down, there was this crack and God completely made a new ankle joint in there for her. I want you to understand, you may be seated. Thank you so much for, give Jesus a hand. Isn't that incredible how in one thing? Just wake up each morning. Just say, today, God, I desire, earnestly desire to begin to help people. And when you try to help them, don't be a show off. Don't be weird. Don't try to put God on the spot. Just be normal. Cool, contemporary. It's not compromising God's power. God is in love with people. And every time your eyes open, the devil's going, oh, he's not powerful. But if you'll just start stepping out of your comfort zone, maybe sit down with that person for tea or coffee that you see, then ask them if you could. Maybe at work, just get that person alone in your office and just see what God would guide you to do. It's amazing how many miracles will take place. And when the pastors aren't praying for people as much, but the people are praying for people, thousands upon thousands of miracles will take place every day. A lady in our church, I was just telling the pastors in the green room, ran over her daughter and killed her in front of neighbors. The neighbors came running over. She's gone. Breath, heartbeat. And the mom just laid hands on her and raised her right up. She's got the t-shirt with the tire tracks right across the chest. That girl's totally healed by the power of God. We need to know that as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we. Let's just start renewing our mind. Start believing for the miraculous and let God begin to take you to an incredible ministry. Love you guys. Hope you have a great week.